When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don't miss out on your chance to listen to four-time Super Bowl champ Charlie Weiss on the only podcast solely devoted to everyone's favorite position in football, the quarterback. Listen for free now by subscribing wherever you get podcasts or by going to CelebrityQB.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast, bringing you the latest in sports news, fantasy analysis, and opinions. Don't forget the hot takes. Can't have a sports show without hot takes these days. What about hot cakes, though? I want some hot cakes. Now here's your host, ready to jump into the thick of things, Dwayne Callender.
Hello and welcome to the show. We've got an interesting set of games coming up in the World Cup knockout stages. So I'm going to go through the round of 16 matches and kind of give you my thoughts and proper bets to play. Coming up shortly, we've got the opening matchup between France and Argentina. And this one's a very interesting mix here because, again, you've got a France squad that has more than enough attacking talent to win the tournament, hasn't really shown it. And then you've got Argentina, which was essentially a hot mess throughout the entire group stage. Barely made it in because Nigeria couldn't string together three passes in the second half and ended up conceding at the tail end. But Argentina got the win against Nigeria. You know what? I got to give them credit. But I thought Nigeria should have had that matchup, but to be perfectly frank, for the bulk of the 90 minutes. But anyway, kind of going into the matchup here, realistically, you've got two squads that have not really done all that much in terms of an attacking standpoint, just because of the two squads. France has been even more disappointing than Argentina, in my opinion. Both squads have scored three goals in the six games. So they scored three goals each in the six games between them. So, you know, obviously not exactly awe-inspiring numbers here. But what we can expect, I would say, is a turnover fest because it looks as though Argentina, by virtue of Messi basically being the coach, is selecting Angel Di Maria for the squad and is dropping Gonzalo Higuain, hero of Germany, by the way, but just off of the mishaps he had consistently in the World Cup final last year against Germany. I'll talk about Germany in a bit and that flame out, but so in terms of Higuain's out, Di Maria is in the starting 11 for Argentina, which is playing a false nine with Messi. Essentially, the false nine, for those of you who don't know, is when there is no set of central striker and you're playing a bunch of midfielders. So essentially, your midfielders are playing a more advanced attacking position, but they're going to drop further back in the midfield. The thought process being is that it becomes harder for the defensive players to actually pick up the midfield players. Because basically the center backs are not necessarily marking the false nine properly, just because they're dropping so far back. Both center backs are kind of in no man's land, so it becomes a case of somebody's got to figure out who's going to pick up whom in the attacking third. When the run-up of play happens. So what tends to happen in the false nine is that it creates opportunities for shooting angles. So, I mean, I can see why Di Maria's in the lineup just from a passing standpoint. And Di Maria does have a decent shot, but obviously Argentina's going to be trying to be creating angles for deeper shots against taking shots against Hugo Lloris, the French goalkeeper. But you know, they're going to be trying to create angles and hoping that France does not engage them further out, so you're going to have deeper shots being taken. So that's the thought process behind the false nine. But in terms of the defensive matchups, basically you've got so with the false nine, Argentina's playing four defenders in the back, three in the midfield, three up top. But again, with false nine, you're basically just a dropping your midfielders into the depth, and then on the attacking third, the buildup of play, they're going to try to do little sneak attacks and create angles for deeper, wider shots. France, they're going to go with the more traditional 4-2-3-1. So Olivier Giroud is the lone striker up top. You've got Griezmann, Kieran Mbappe, who's an absolute stud, and Matuidi as the other midfielder. Kante and Pogba in central midfield as the two matchups. And, you know, in terms of Mbappe, he would be the focal point I would look at here, just in terms of his overall speed. Griezmann, also a tricky offensive player. He's essentially what you would call a poacher in terms of goals. Giroud, always good on set pieces. You really can't fault him at all when he's on the pitch. The one guy I would look at and just scratch my head as to how the hell he's on the field is Paul Pogba. Pogba, to me, is the biggest liability on this French national team. He turns the ball over way too much, advances when he shouldn't advance, creates mismatches all the time, odd man rushes. Even though I expect this game to be kind of like a close-knit affair with 1-1, between Di Maria and Pogba, the amount of turnovers both players are going to have, they're going to create opportunities for both teams. So, like I said, I'm picking a 1-1 draw for the first 90 minutes. And, you know, I like to say I'm confident in that pick, but because knowing the midfielders involved here, I know very well Pogba and Di Maria can screw this up, and you got an odd man rush, and it blows the game wide open. Between Di Maria and Pogba, they can very much screw this game up from a over-under tally for those betting that way. But in terms of the matchup itself, like I said, I think this ends up being a 1-1 draw. I think both teams have not shown the consistency to pull away in this one. Especially once that first goal gets scored, I think the other team is going to try to play a little bit more defensive, and then you're probably going to see another goal happen just because they can't play a little more defensive because they're turning the ball over too much. But anyway, that's the way I kind of look at it. 1-1 draw for the first 90, and I think it goes to penalties, upon which France advances over Argentina. But this should be an interesting game to watch. Just from the star power alone, everyone's going to be focused on Lionel Messi. I have not been that impressed with Messi throughout the World Cup. He did show the flash of the Leo Messi brilliance that we're used to seeing against Nigeria in the opening a few minutes. But like I said, in terms of quality competition, I'm very skeptical of what we're seeing out of Argentina here, because again, this is not Argentina's best squad, but it's the squad Messi wants to play with, so that's what they're going with. I'm not sold, to be perfectly frank. I think Aguero should be in here, but you know, yeah, I just, you know, there are avenues that can be explored here in the second half, but Aguero could be in there, Higuain could be Dybala, but you know, like I said, there are a number of areas where I can question the set lineup that Argentina has. You know, France can bring on Lamar off the bench. You know, France went out with an attacking squad. I just have my issues with Pogba being able to create a significant amount of chances without causing France to give up a number of other prime opportunities for Argentina here. So, like I said, France should be able to win this game outright. I just don't think they will, just because of the squad that they have set up. I think it's a little bit too aggressive. So I think it keeps Argentina in it without France blowing them out completely. So, like I said, France advances, but I think this is a very close game.
Hey, Throwdown Nation. Are you at the bottom of your fantasy league wondering what is going on with your quarterback? Well, I think I've got a new show that may just fit the bill for you. The show is called Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks to get your burning questions answered, such as, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Can Aaron Rodgers actually play a full season on one healthy leg? And can Dak Prescott actually lead the Cowboys to a Super Bowl in spite of Jerry Jones? Coach Weiss and co-host Steve Stroud have got you covered on all things quarterbacks. Listen now on Apple Podcasts or any major media platform. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
Next up on the slate for Saturday's matchups, you got Uruguay versus Portugal. You know, in terms of qualifying stages, Uruguay made great work of their group stage matchups in Group A. You know, they took care of business against Russia as they needed to. I mean, the other competition they faced, I mean, Egypt was a mess. And, you know, the less said about Saudi Arabia, the better. I kind of look at this and kind of say, you know, Uruguay has a very solid team. Portugal has not looked that impressive, even though I think they have one of the deepest squads in the tournament. And I picked them as one of the favorites to win the tournament. They haven't really shown it. It was kind of disappointing how they ended the group stage. I mean, they could have easily been knocked out by Iran just on how that game ended. And Ronaldo getting away with what could have been a red card. You know, there were lots of questions being asked of VAR and everything else involved with the World Cup tournament about preferential treatment to certain players. But with all that being said, this is a very close matchup. I can make a case for Uruguay winning. I can make a case for Portugal winning. But in terms of the tournament, Uruguay hasn't conceded a goal yet. Everyone knows that Ronaldo had the opening round hat trick against Spain, which, you know, back if you rewind everything, as impressive as it was, Spain's defensive prowess has left quite a bit to be desired. So I'm not quite sure what we have on our hands here with Portugal. But Luis Suarez for Uruguay has been playing very well to date. Edison Cavani, always dangerous in the box. So this is going to be a very interesting test for Portugal here, because I think if, in terms of the overall matchup, if Portugal can manage the game, they should be able to find their way through, but I think this is one of those where Portugal can't be trying to actively get the win. I think they're going to have to try to salt away and get a set piece and try to do it that way. I don't think trying to do it against a run-up play is the best way of going about it, because I think Uruguay can punish them on a counter. So in terms of the overall picks, this ends up being a bit interesting here, because Uruguay's plus 197, Portugal's plus 173, draws at plus 188. You know, in terms of the bet here, if I was going to go with anything, you know, I kind of look at the draw as the most reasonable, but, you know, that's why the bet ranges are all over the place, because usually you get someone that's favored, but no one really wants to take a gamble here on it. I mean, even the over-under is kind of based off of the Asian market total of 1.75. I mean, usually you get a 1 or 1.5 or 2. Like, the 175 is strictly Asian markets only, Asian-style markets only. going for it in 75. But, yeah, this is an interesting one here, just because I could see this being another 1-1 game, and then it kind of comes down to extra time or penalties where Portugal advances. That would be my pick, but I could make a case for either squad here. And that would set up a very interesting matchup between Portugal and France, which, you know, a number of folks would wager say that could have been a finals matchup. I mean, just talk about how loaded the side of the left side of the bracket is for the World Cup. You've got between the 8 clubs that are in it, I mean, you know, you kind of toss out Japan. So really, 7 clubs that are in it. Well, actually, you should toss out Mexico as well. But it's like no one's really expecting anything out of Mexico or Japan. I know the Mexico fans are very upset to hear that, but, you know, no one's really expecting anything else out of them at this point. But, you know, you got 10 titles and 16 finals appearances between the other squads that are in here for the World Cup. I mean, Belgium and hasn't been there, but Belgium at least, you would say, are very much contenders in the mix. But, I mean, it's a murderer's row between Uruguay, Portugal, France, Argentina, Brazil, and Belgium. I mean, that's a rough go of it. No matter how you slice it, no one is necessarily going to be pleased about it. That's why the English fans were so happy that England managed to get on the right side of the draw by losing that third matchup against Belgium. I find it comical that they're very excited, because I don't think England has an easy go of it either, because I think England could easily lose to Colombia, and I think between Sweden and Switzerland, I think they could also lose to either one of those teams. I'm not entirely sold that England advances based off of the tricky matchups that are in that bottom half of the right side of the draw. Because while on the left side you got 10 titles and 16 finals appearances, on the right side of the draw you got 2 titles and 3 finals appearances. I mean, and basically the titles are from Spain. I mean, Spain is the prohibitive favorite to make the finals of the World Cup now, based off of how the draws worked out. Because you got Spain playing Russia, you got Croatia versus Denmark. And, you know, in terms of matchups that are basically going to be nail-biters, you got Sweden versus Switzerland and, of course, the Colombia-England matchup. But, you know, I would strongly say that we've got some interesting matchups on the left side of the draw. Right side of the draw seems to be a little bit more by the numbers, but let's get into it for the matchups on Sunday. So you've got Spain versus Russia. You know, the host country, Russia, has been lighting it up in the tournament. I mean, they scored 8 goals in the first 2 matchups between Saudi Arabia and Egypt. Again, Saudi Arabia and Egypt very, very much were disappointing competition, to say the least. But, you know, it is what it is. They qualified. You know, once Russia played against Uruguay, they got shut down easily and lost 3-0. I think that it kind of goes more along the same lines when they faced top-tier competition. Now, Spain has been very much lackluster on the defensive end. Sergio Ramos has been playing terribly. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But at the end of the day, I think Spain picks it up a bit. I think Spain handles Russia. I would say that, you know, we'll get a couple of goals out of this one just because Russia's been playing an all-out attack style. So if they're going to go down, they're going to go down swinging. So I expect them to try to at least go out and try to score as many goals as they can. I think Spain puts up three or four goals on them just because of how aggressive Russia's going to attack it. Spain's minus 164, Russia's at plus 480. I mean, even as a host country, I just can't take those odds for Russia. I think Spain handles this one relatively easily. I would take the 2.5 over in terms of goals. I just look at Spain, and I just think it's too strong of a squad overall going up against Russia. Then on the afternoon matchup on Sunday, you got Croatia versus Denmark. Interesting matchup here because if you looked at Denmark's opening matchup and, I mean, just looking at how they played against Peru, you'd swear that Denmark was going to end up finishing fourth in that group. I give Denmark credit for turning it around because, they were not looking all that impressive, to be perfectly frank. I look at this matchup and I would say that Croatia handling Argentina was eye-opening, to say the least. Even with Croatia having Luka Modric in the midfield, just a standout player for many years in the midfield with Real Madrid. But I'm very much curious as to what Croatia is going to be able to do on this side of the draw, not having that much competition. They should be able to take care of Denmark. Denmark, even though Christian Eriksen is a very creative player, I just don't think Denmark has overall team speed to keep up with elite-level competition. Croatia's minus 117 as a favorite. Over-under total is 2. I kind of look at this as a game where Croatia probably just gets the opening goal and then shuts down the door, and Denmark's not going to be able to create any chances for themselves. So I look at Croatia taking care of business and moving on past Denmark. Then we come into the Monday matchups. You're going to have a matchup here between Brazil and Mexico. My feeling here is Mexico had a very nice story. Are they actually good? No. I still see too many holes in Mexico's game. I think that they can get exploited on the back end. I think the midfield is very much exploitable. Vela has played well, but, there are limitations to this. And, once you get to a certain level, you're going to be up against it. I mean, Mexico's plus 560. Brazil's a minus 192 favorite. I look at this and I'm saying, I think Brazil beats them by more than a goal. So I would actually be leaning on the side of Brazil minus one, expecting at least to win by two or more goals in this one. As good as Ochoa is in net for Mexico, I think he's their best player, so he can keep them in it. But I think Brazil, with their attacking options and the way Philip Coutinho is playing, I think Brazil takes care of business against Mexico, and they make it look good. I don't think they play around with Mexico at all. I think they just take it to them. The afternoon matchup on Monday, you've got Belgium and Japan. Japan literally is here because of one of the most idiotic rules I can think of for a tiebreaker. Japan advanced over a better Senegal team. Senegal actually played very well in the group stage, better than I gave them credit for. But Japan advanced on the premise that they had fewer yellow cards issued to them, 4 yellow cards, as opposed to Senegal having 6 yellow cards. Now, you could say that Senegal had their chance to advance by not taking care of business against Colombia. That's all true, well and true. Colombia won that matchup 1-0 and managed to not only win the group, but also get past because of what happened. But, I mean, if you wanted the easiest matchup possible, to me, you take this matchup against Japan. I for everyone complaining about what's going on with the draws, I just look at this as the most favorable matchup. If you're looking at advance, it's just to get paired up against Japan. So that's why I kind of question why England was so gung-ho about losing that matchup against Belgium, just because, yes, you have to go up against Brazil in the quarterfinals, but, you know, I still think that it's possible that you can beat Brazil in the quarterfinals without running scared. To me, it's just one where you kind of look at the situation and take it for what it is. Belgium should easily advance over Japan. Japan plus 700. Honestly, could be even worse than that. You know, Belgium scored 9 goals in the group stage. I just think that they're going to rout Japan. You know, Japan is very fortunate to be here, but I just think that's going to be the biggest lopsided matchup of the knockout round stages. And that brings us to the Tuesday matchups between... so the morning matchup would be Sweden versus Switzerland. Again, this is a interesting matchup because I would say Sweden should be favored here. And yet, it looks as though Switzerland's slightly favored. Sweden's plus 200, Switzerland's plus 153. You know, I'm legitimately... questioning why Sweden's not favored here, because you know, even though they lost to Germany, Sweden played well in the group stage. You know, they beat South Korea, they handled Mexico. You know, they played well. My thing is, you know, Switzerland, they beat Serbia, but you know, they weren't exactly impressive against Costa Rica and Brazil. They should have lost that matchup given the amount of fouls that they had. But, you know, I'm very much curious to see how that game goes. But I would take Switzerland here. I mean, Sweden here. Eesh. I'm talking about teams. wrong SWT. But I'm taking Sweden here over Switzerland. Just because I think Sweden has a little bit more of a well-rounded team, but, you know, from a valuation standpoint, you know, if I'm picking an underdog, I'm picking Sweden. And I'm probably going to pick, in our final matchup here, I'm probably picking Colombia against England. England's favored at plus 110 to win in 90 minutes, but I'm not entirely sold that England has played up to their potential, and the fact that they openly talked about trying to tank this matchup, just given the substitutions that both England and Belgium made, I gotta think Colombia is gonna use that as a motivation to get themselves fired up for this matchup. Yes, Harry Kane's excellent. You got Dele Alli. You got a number of attacking options that you hear about in the Premier League, but I still look at this Colombia squad as a tricky matchup for the Red Lions, and I'm not exactly gonna be shocked if you see Colombia pull off the upset here. More likely, it ends up being a draw, and Colombia advances. But I think overall Colombia advances in this matchup. I just thought it was a mistake for England to make it as public as possible that they wanted to match up against Colombia. But, you know, we're going to see how things pan out. So that does it for my preview of the World Cup knockout stages matches for the round of 16. In terms of other news, you had some development in NBA free agency with LeBron James opting out. I mean, there's ESPN for coverage of that wall-to-wall with NBA free agency. I just look at it as a stance of whether LeBron goes to LA or Cleveland, he's still going to be one of the top options from a fantasy perspective, no matter who he's playing with, given the season he had last year, which was incredible. So LeBron's motivated to beat the Warriors at any cost. whether or not he actually has the proper hand to do so, that's an entirely different matter altogether. But we're gonna see where he ends up. The odds-on favorite has him with the Lakers at -155, and then it's staying in Cleveland's at +200. You know, I still wouldn't count out some of the other destinations like Philly or Houston just yet, because it all kind of depends on how the Kawhi Leonard situation breaks, where Kawhi Leonard gets traded to as part of the ultimate landing spot for LeBron. Just because I think LeBron is still trying to actively solicit who would actually be willing to play with him next year. And for everyone who's talking about how embarrassing it would be for everyone to turn down LeBron, I'm sure there are more than enough free agents coming up in 2019 that would disagree and want to play with LeBron James. You know, it is what it is. I just think it's a little bit overblown how much NBA free agency gets talked about on some of the sports networks, but you know, it's the modern day reality that we live in, that we're caring more about NBA free agency than we did for most of the NBA playoffs. All right, well, we got the World Cup matchup between Argentina and France starting soon, so I'm going to sign off, but have a good one, folks, and enjoy the matchup.
It's the most talked about position in all of sports, the quarterback. And now there's a show solely dedicated to the most sought after role on the field, Celebrity QB, featuring four-time Super Bowl champion coach Charlie Weiss. Unlike other football shows, you'll get the inside scoop on all things quarterbacks. Like, is this the year Tom Brady finally looks his age? Will dating Danica Patrick distract Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, he's dating Danica Patrick, Charlie. We're interested in that, you know?
Well, I mean, Tommy's got Giselle. I'll take Giselle, okay?
Is Dak Prescott good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Cowboys? Which rookie quarterback has the best shot of making a positive impact in 2018?
How about intellectually, Charlie, as far as what they ask the quarterbacks to do now?
The game has changed, but the pressure that's put on quarterbacks, and it always been put on quarterbacks, is tremendous.
Join Charlie Weiss and co-host Steve Strout on an all-new podcast from Lasting Media, exclusively about quarterbacks. Subscribe now at Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to great podcasts. Celebrity QB, everyone's favorite position.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.